Okay, so have you ever like actually thought about what it would be like to be like a kid being questioned by the police all alone? I mean, it's a pretty unsettling thought, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And back in 1948, there was this really important Supreme Court case, Haley v. Ohio, and it tackled this exact issue head on.
Yeah.
It ended up completely changing how the legal system looks at confessions, you know, when they come from young people who are suspects in a case.
Yeah. Haley v. Ohio, it's not just some, dusty old legal history.
Right.
It gives us a window into like these huge bedrock principles of due process and
Oh, yeah, for
how
sure.
vulnerable kids are in these situations. And
Totally.
it's like a roadmap of how our standards for police interrogations have evolved over time.
Right.
Especially for you, as someone who's really diving deep into the law.
Yeah.
This case is like the foundation for understanding the legal protections that minors have, when they're dealing with law enforcement.
Absolutely. Okay, so our mission today is to break down the core facts of this case, you know, the reasoning behind the Supreme Court's decision and the lasting impact it's had on juvenile justice.
Yep.
We want to make sure you have like a crystal clear grasp of what it all means. And to do that, we're going to be using a bunch of detailed case briefs and legal analysis. So it's going to be thorough but digestible. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so let's jump into the specifics of John Harvey Haley's arrest and interrogation. I mean, the circumstances are really troubling.
Yeah.
So picture this. We've got a 15-year-old African-American boy, John Harvey Haley, right? He's arrested around midnight in October 1945, and he's accused of murder and robbery. Like, that's heavy stuff.
Heavy stuff. And what happened next is like almost unthinkable by today's legal standard.
I know, right?
They interrogated him for 5 hours straight, starting right after midnight and going all the way to 5 a.m. And to make things even worse, they had multiple police officers taking turns questioning him,
Oh, wow.
just one after the other.
So he's completely on his own.
Totally isolated. No lawyer, no parents, no one there to support him or advise him. Just imagine the power imbalance in that room.
Seriously, it's heartbreaking. And it gets worse around 5 a.m. after they show him what they say are confessions from his alleged accomplices. He signs a typed confession.
Wow.
And remember, through this whole 5-hour ordeal, he never had a lawyer. He
Right.
never had anyone to tell him his rights or anything.
No, and to pile on the pressure, they held him incommunicado for 5 days, like no contact with the outside world at all.
That's crazy.
Even his own mother wasn't allowed to see him. I mean, that isolation is a huge red flag when you're looking at how they got that confession.
No kidding. It's shocking that this confession, taken under such incredibly coercive circumstances, was the main piece of evidence used to convict him.
It really is.
He ended up being found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison. It's just a stark reminder of how vulnerable people can be, especially when their rights aren't protected.
Absolutely. And that verdict kicked off this whole legal battle through the Ohio courts. The trial court upheld the conviction, the appeals court agreed, and even the Ohio Supreme Court initially dismissed his appeal. They said there wasn't a big enough constitutional issue to even look at it.
It's amazing how much legal thinking about juvenile rights has changed since then.
Yeah, you can really see the shift when you compare it to what the U.S. Supreme Court eventually decided.
Thankfully, the U.S. Supreme Court did see how important this case was and agreed to hear it. They understood that a fundamental question about due process was at stake. So the main legal question they had to grapple with was this: did allowing Haley's confession into evidence violate his rights under the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause?
Right. And Justice Douglas, he wrote the majority opinion, and he made this powerful statement about how courts need to be extra careful when a juvenile's confession is involved. Like, scrutinize the record carefully.
So right away, you see they're signaling that cases with kids are different.
Exactly. It's a different standard.
And they didn't just focus on one single thing that made the confession problematic, right?
Nope. They looked at the whole picture.
They looked at the totality of the circumstances.
The totality of the
Almost
circumstances.
Haley's age, only 15. The fact that the interrogation went on all night, his isolation without any support, and the fact that he had no lawyer. It wasn't just one thing, it was everything together.
Exactly. And Justice Douglas summed it up perfectly with this line: a 15-year-old is no match for the police in a midnight to dawn contest.
That's a powerful image.
It really drives home the point that a kid that age just doesn't have the same mental and emotional capacity as an adult.
Right. They can't handle that kind of pressure.
They don't understand their rights the same way. And the court recognized that. They said you can't hold them to the same standard as an adult when they're being interrogated like that.
The playing field is not level.
Not at all. And the court also took issue with the way the police handle Haley's custody, you know, keeping him completely isolated and not letting his mother see him. They called it a device for wringing confessions.
So they felt like it was a deliberate tactic.
Yeah, not just an accident. They believe the police were using that isolation to pressure him into confessing.
It's also really important to remember the historical context here. You know, Haley v. Ohio happened before Miranda v. Arizona.
Right.
Miranda is the case that established the requirement for police to inform suspects of their right to remain silent and their right to an attorney.
The famous Miranda warnings.
Exactly. So even before Miranda came along, Haley v. Ohio was a major precedent.
Lead precedent.
It established that confessions, especially from juveniles, have to be voluntary and that courts need to really scrutinize confessions from young people.
It set the stage for Miranda.
Now, even though the majority opinion in Haley was clear-cut, there were some different viewpoints within the court too, right?
Yeah. Justice Frankfurter, he agreed with the decision to overturn Haley's conviction. But he thought the reasoning should be a little different.
How so?
He was a little cautious about saying that all juvenile confessions in similar situations should be thrown out automatically. He thought it should be more case by case, you know, really looking at the details of what the police did in each specific situation.
More nuanced approach.
Right, exactly. And then there was Justice Burton, who dissented altogether.
He disagreed with the majority.
He did. His main argument was about respecting the decisions of the lower courts.
Okay.
He thought the Supreme Court should defer to the state judges who had actually heard the witnesses and seen the evidence firsthand. You know,
interesting.
He said if those judges believed the police officers when they described how they got the confession, then the Supreme Court should accept that and consider the confession voluntary.
So he felt the Supreme Court was overstepping.
He thought they were substituting their judgment for the judgment of the trial court, which he didn't think was right.
It's an interesting point of view, but it's important to note that Justice Burton wasn't saying that coercive tactics were okay.
Right.
His argument was more about the role of the Supreme Court and who gets to decide whether the police acted properly.
Right. He was more focused on the process than on the specific tactics themselves.
So even though there were some differing opinions within the court, Haley v. Ohio has had a massive impact on our legal system.
Absolutely.
It basically changed the whole way we approach interrogating young suspects. The big takeaway here is that juveniles are now recognized as needing extra legal protection during questioning.
Much more protection.
The case made it clear that courts have to consider all the factors, a minor's age, the circumstances of the interrogation, the tactics the police used, everything when deciding if a juvenile's confession was really voluntary or not.
Right. It's not just about whether they technically said the words. It's about the whole context.
And Haley v. Ohio laid the groundwork for so many other landmark cases about the rights of juveniles.
Oh, yeah. Tons of them.
Like in Regalt in 1967, which expanded the constitutional rights of minors in juvenile court. So you can see how Haley set the stage for that.
Definitely a direct line of legal reasoning.
So for you, as someone who's passionate about the law and about justice, Haley v. Ohio is a reminder of a really crucial principle.
What's that?
The law needs to recognize that people are vulnerable, especially kids, and they need special protection when they're facing the power of the state.
Right.
It's not just about following the rules. It's about making sure things are fair, especially for those who are most likely to be pressured or manipulated.
And when you think about the specifics of John Haley's case, you know, a 15-year-old interrogated for hours in the middle of the night with no one to help him, it really makes you think about how our legal system is still trying to figure out this balance.
What balance?
The balance between effective law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need police to be able to investigate crimes.
Right.
But we also need to protect the fundamental rights of young people during interrogations. It's a tough balance to strike.
It is. And there are still so many challenges in making sure that confessions from juveniles are truly voluntary and not the result of undue pressure.
Absolutely. Those are questions we're still wrestling with today.
Definitely. This deep dive into Haley v. Ohio gives us a starting point for understanding these complex issues.
It's a foundation.
And we encourage you to keep exploring related cases and discussions about juvenile justice to learn more, because it's an area of law that's always evolving.
It's so important. At the end of the day, Haley v. Ohio serves as this powerful reminder that true justice means taking into account individual circumstances.
Especially when one side has way more power than the other.
Right. Like when you have a kid facing the full force of the state, we have to be extra careful to make sure things are fair.
Absolutely.
That's the legacy of Haley v. Ohio.
It really is. Okay, so that's our deep dive on Haley v. Ohio, a landmark case with lessons that are still relevant today.
Thanks for joining us.
See you next time.